Bible? I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I'm a believer, not a doubter. I'm a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Amen. Y'all awake tonight. Amen. Well, we're going to continue. We really started off this year. Pastor James started off an incredible series talking about generosity, right? Start off 2019. Generosity, it's all about the heart. And we're going to continue in that tonight. I'm so thankful for the word that we hear, the quality of word that we hear on a consistent basis. And if you will consistently put yourself in a position of hearing quality word, the quality of your life will get better. Amen. And so part five was this past Sunday, and Pastor James's subtopic was don't rob God. And he was focusing on not robbing God of the opportunity to bless you. You know, as we all say on a consistent basis, giving is not a game. You can recite that in your sleep. But it's God's plan to prosper our lives. Amen. And so tonight I want to talk to you about giving God your best. Giving God your best. From Sunday, we began to look at the three categories of giving in the Bible, and they were tithes, offerings, and extravagant offerings. Amen. Pastor James went over some in each of those categories, tithes, offerings, and extravagant offerings. And giving is to be a priority for the believer who desires to steward properly. All right, if you are a believer and you want to steward properly, giving must be a priority for you. In 1 Corinthians 4 and 2, in the Amplified, it says, moreover, it is essentially required of stewards that a man be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust. The definition of a steward is someone who watches over something for somebody else. So our God-given assignments, they may all be different, and they are different. But the reality is we are all called to be stewards. We are all called to watch over what God has given us and to watch over it in a manner that brings glory to him. Proverbs 28:20 in the King James, it says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Now, I love those two scriptures. If you've heard me teach as I do on occasion, oftentimes I'll combine those two scriptures just like I did tonight. Because I love the heart of God because he blesses what he requires. See, God is a good God. So he wouldn't require us to do something and then not bless us for doing it. Amen? So if you're a good steward and you're faithful with what you have been given, simply put, you will be blessed with more. And as a believer, I can take ownership of my own personal prosperity through my obedience. As a believer, I can take ownership of my personal prosperity through my obedience. You know, in the kingdom, there's no such thing as the haves and have-nots. Amen. Scripture's clear. We're all supposed to have. Amen. We're not supposed to compare. Amen. We're supposed to gaze at the word and see prosperity manifest for our lives in line with his word. It's so important that we understand that because our society is very much bent on comparison and outdoing our neighbor. But the reality is God has a plan to prosper each one of our lives. And it may all look different. However, the scripture remains true. Amen. And your obedience to the tithe is key. Your obedience to tithe is key because the tithe is the beginning of your prosperity. It starts there. We haven't yet gotten to first base concerning God's plan to prosper our lives if we're not tithing. I'm not being mean, I'm just being honest. Amen? As we've heard throughout this series, Pastor James talk about the tithe. Really, there's only, according to Scripture, only two things you can do with it. You can bring it or you can steal it. There really are no other options according to Scripture. Amen? Because the Scripture's clear. But you've got to understand, your obedience to tithe is key because the tithe is the beginning of your prosperity. And don't say God doesn't understand your situation, because God does understand your situation, which is why he raises up people to tell you the truth about what God's word says and gives you instructions and give you tools and things that you can do so you can then be positioned to prosper. Amen? Tithing works for those who tithe. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Malachi. Let's see what the prophet Malachi's got to say. Malachi 3, 6 and 10. We're going to be reading the King James. It says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Amen. So if we look at those verses, tithing is important for several reasons we find in those verses. All right, there are at least four. There's probably more, but the four reasons. Number one, tithing honors God as our source. Tithing honors God as our source. If we're not tithing, we're not honoring God as our source. Number two, tithing causes all of our finances to be blessed. The tenth blesses the rest. Number three, tithing destroys lack. And number four, tithing positions you for overflow. So as Pastor James was saying on Sunday, don't rob God of the opportunity to bless you. Your obedience to the tithe is key, because the tithe is the beginning of your prosperity. The principle behind tithing and the principle behind giving offerings is the idea, the principle that God can do more for me than I can do on my own. That I need his help. I need his help not just in finances, but I need his help to be a good husband. And I need his help to be a good employee. And I need his help to be a good father. My heart is bent toward wanting to do things God's way. And if our heart is bent to doing things God's way, it must include the tithe. 2 Corinthians 9, 6-9 in the King James. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. So because giving is a matter of the heart, how I give is important. Remember the demonstration Pastor did, giving cheerfully, and it's like, just tossing it at somebody, right? God wants the cheerful giver. And Scripture instructs us to give in a certain way. Those ways are, number one, Scripture instructs us to give joyfully. Number two, selflessly. Number three, willingly. Number four, thankfully. And number five, intentionally. So giving is a choice that I have to make based on conviction and courage. I see what the Word of God says, I'm convicted by it, and then I got to have the courage to reach out and obey. Giving is not just something I do to stay out of trouble with God. You know, like a child that just wants to stay out of trouble when they obey their parents. It's not really that they want to do the right thing, it's just that they know if they don't, there's going to be a penalty. All right, but giving is not just something I do to stay out of trouble with God. Giving works, and it produces the abundant life that God promised. Something the Holy Spirit said to me earlier was that when I give to God, I demonstrate adoration and appreciation for who he is in my life. When I give to God, I demonstrate adoration and appreciation for who he is in my life. Just like David said, if it had not been for the Lord who is on my side. So I'm giving out of a heart of gratitude. I'm giving not grudgingly, but I'm giving gratefully, understanding that if God didn't intervene in my life, I would not be where I am today. Understanding that I'm not a self-made person, but I need God's help in my life. Amen? So that's my faith stance. That's the heart that I'm giving from. So we have the tithes, we have the offerings, and then we have extravagant offerings or sacrificial offerings. Pastor James said, one of his pastor friends says painful offerings, right? But there are extravagant offerings that are seen all throughout Scripture. We see example after example, Old Testament and New Testament. In the Old Testament, David gave a very big sacrificial offering to build the temple. It was billions. And we have his son Solomon following in daddy's footsteps. When Solomon became king, he offered 1,000 bulls to God, when really it was customary that the new king would only offer one. Abraham was willing to offer his son Isaac. Of course, God stopped him because that wasn't what was required, but what God was looking for is, where is your heart? Of course, the greatest sacrificial offering ever was when God the Father gave his son Jesus for you and I, and then Jesus following through and choosing the crucifixion. Because Jesus chose, the Bible says he said, I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. Don't get it twisted and think somehow the devil killed him. Didn't happen. Let's look at one more example that Jesus referenced in Luke 21, 1 through 4 in the Message. I love this translation of these verses. Just then he, Jesus, looked up and saw the rich people dropping offerings in the collection plate. Then he saw a poor widow put in 2 pennies. He said, the plain truth is that this widow has given by far the largest offering today. All these others made offerings that they'll never miss. She gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all. Amen. That is a good place to clap. And that's what God considers extravagant. It's not the amount, it's our personal best. The Bible says very clearly that Jesus noticed this woman. In fact, I don't really recall Jesus anywhere else in the Gospels speaking of the amount that somebody gave. But she is recorded in history as really the greatest offering giver other than himself. So God is not concerned about who gives the most. He's concerned about us giving our best. And through the years, Deb and I have made that commitment that, you know what, we're going to give our tithes, give our offerings, and we're going to be extravagant givers. And we're going to talk about in just a few minutes different ways to sow seed. But I want to share with you a few testimonies. Really want to share with you in more detail about our recent house purchase. It started in the fall of 2017. I was praying and I asked the Lord to bless us with a house that would make Deb smile. Now, if you're married, you love to see, well, you should love to see your spouse smile, right? Look straight ahead, right? But, I mean, her smile, Deb's smile just lights up my life. And so that's what I asked the Lord for. Lord, I want a house that's going to make her smile. And it wasn't that where we were living was all that bad. There were several things that we really didn't care for. You know, we didn't have a whole lot of storage and a whole lot of extra space. And that's very important when you have 5 children, particularly girls. You need extra space, right? Got a few amens from those who have children. All right, but it really was enough for that time, except for the storage, but that didn't matter because, you know, she wasn't really smiling. And that's God's heart, is God wants to give you something that's going to put a smile on your face. Amen. He wants you happy. So that was the fall of 17. In December of 2017, I was at Ellen's house. Ellen's doing the screens tonight. Amen. Most of y'all probably know that Ellen and I are siblings, so we grew up together, you know, and so having grown up together, of course, you know, we got along, and then, you know, we got along, you know, here we are years later, right, in ministry together. God is good, and we really are like best of friends. Amen. God is faithful. Amen. Y'all want to hear a funny story about Ellen and I growing up? Ellen, about the mid-1980s, woo, Manhattan, New York City. All right. I wasn't a bad kid. I was not a bad kid at all, at least in my humble opinion. But I did like to pick, just like any brother would. And so I would pick on her from time and again. And Ellen was more like, I'm to myself. You know, you leave me alone, I'm going to leave you alone. All right. That really wasn't me, because if you left me alone, I still was going to kind of pick on you. And I don't really remember everything I did to her as a child. You know, I mean, I remember a couple things. I remember one time I hid, confession's good for the soul, right? I hid her favorite stuffed animal. Now, that was on purpose, okay? The sad part about it is I forgot where I hid it, and that's the truth, okay? I forgot where I hid it. A year later, all right, we find it stuffed between the box spring and the mattress of our parents' bed, but I honestly forgot where I hid it because I started to feel bad about that. But anyway, I was in my picking season, okay? I was picking on her. And I don't remember what I said to her one day, but apparently Ellen had had enough. Okay, and I'll never forget the apartment we lived in Manhattan. I'm telling you, you'd enter the kitchen one way and exit the other way, and we had really high ceilings. So loud sounds you would hear ricochet through the house because the ceilings were high. And I remember we were both in the kitchen, right? And I said something or did something, and she was not happy. She goes in the fridge and pulls out this pack of Oscar Mayer bologna. The kind with the yellow back, the circle, you know what I'm saying? All right, you know exactly what I'm talking about. She takes a piece of bologna out, okay, and smacks me right across the face. I'm telling you, that sound ricocheted through the house. I mean, I remember that as clear as day. And it was the funniest thing because it was so not like her. Like, she was always, but I, whatever happened, like, just don't get Ellen mad, y'all. Okay, that's all I got to say. That's the moral of the story. But here we are serving God together years later. God is so faithful. Amen. So that was that little rabbit trail, okay? But God had blessed Ellen with a brand new house. I'm like, well, baloney slapping girl got a brand new house. Why can't Pat get a brand new house? I'm like, if God forgave her for that, it's like, shoot, I want to get me a brand new house. So I was visiting with her, right? And y'all, if you haven't seen on Facebook Live, she's got an incredible testimony that you need to hear. Amen. And you know somebody who's going through a faith fight, they need to hear that testimony. I shared that with somebody who was amazed and very encouraged in their individual faith fight. So Ellen, she had this, I mean, it's still, she just keeps it so nice. And you know, when you go into a brand new house, I just love the smell. It just smells so good. You know, and I left the brand new house with that smell just kind of in my nostrils. I'm like, man, I want to get me a brand new house. And then we started to look at prices of a brand new house. See, Ellen's single. So her brand new house can be a little bit smaller, okay, than a brand new house for seven people. So we started looking at prices. So remember, you know, I prayed a little prayer. Oh, Lord, bless me with a house that'll make Deb smile. And then I see the prices of the brand new houses. I'm like, Maybe I shouldn't have told Deb what I prayed. All right, so in my mind, I started backing up. I started hesitating. All right, and I think we've all done that at one point or another, something that God had for us that we then pull back because we can't figure out in our minds how this is supposed to happen. All right, well, to make a long story short, it's an incredible story, but we found a ridiculous deal. We qualified for a program which required no money down. The mortgage company reimbursed us for fees we had paid to the builder. So at closing, they gave us a check for $1,800. They're paying me to buy the house that they built. That's God, amen? And see, what happens is when we hesitate, we don't know what's on the other end. So we've got to learn how to push past that hesitation, amen? Because it's the faith pursuit that shows us, all right, the blessings of the Lord. The faith pursuit reveals the blessings of God. But if I don't pursue, I won't get to the other side of that pursuit and see what God has for me. Amen? All right, so we got this house, just under 3,000 square feet, 5 bedrooms, 3.5 baths, granite in the kitchen, 2-tone marble in the bathrooms, the kind to put a smile on Deb's face, plenty of closet space, and storage. All right? And only $300, it only cost me $300 out of pocket. So if you'd ask me today, hey, you know, we want to give you a brand new house for $300 out of pocket, what would you say? Well, duh, of course I would say yeah. But it took faith to pursue to see what God might do. And sometimes we're on the brink of something that God's trying to do, and because we hesitate, or, you know, we're trying to figure out in our minds, what we're doing is tying the hands of God from doing what he already knows he's going to do, because he knows the end from the beginning, amen? We've just got to reach outside of our comfort zone and pursue. Praise God. So we don't know what's possible for us until we go after it. So it's the faith pursuit that reveals the blessings of God. So this is what God has for you and I. He has mind-boggling, ridiculous blessings that make no sense. He has amazing things for you to say, that, so amazing that people are going to think, you're lying. He's lying. She's lying. No. Giving is not a game, but it's God's plan to prosper my life. It's not a lie. It's the hand of God. Amen. Let's talk about four ways to sow seed. Four ways to sow seed. Number one, systematically. Number two, spontaneously. Number three, strategically. And number four, sacrificially. Systematically, spontaneously, strategically, and sacrificially. So systematically, that would be your regular tithes and offerings. Systematic sowing, it's automatic and it's consistent. It's planned. All right, Proverbs 3:9-10 in the King James, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. It's planned. Then secondly, there's the spontaneously. Unlike the systematic sowing, which is planned, spontaneous giving is the opposite. It's unplanned. This is when the Holy Spirit quickens you on the spot to give or perhaps give again. I remember years ago when we were living in Pennsylvania, at the time, and the church that we were a part of, there was a family there, and they were having a lot of car problems. And I was praying for them, and I really said, you know, I remember telling Deb, I wish I could buy him a, you know, I wish I could buy him a new car. Just didn't happen to have the finances to be able to do that at the time. But what I did have was $100 in my wallet. All right, and I put that $100 in my wallet after listening to a series by Apostle Hilliard. All right, and he was talking about the fact that you need to raise your level of believing. And one of the things he said in that message was to get a $100 bill and put it in your wallet. And every once in a while, take it out, look at it, and then put it back in your wallet. All right, and I would do that all the time. You know, and Jesus talked to things, so I listened to the man of God. I started talking to things. I said, $100 bill, you are common. I have so many more just like you. Amen. And just put it back in my pocket. All right, and so God already knows what he was going to do, right? One day I'm leaving church, I'm getting ready to pull out, happen to look to my left, I see this family that was having the car problems. I'd already had it in reverse. Holy Spirit says, give them that $100. So I put it back in drive, park the car, get out of the car. Holy Spirit told me to give this to you. God bless you, love you, have a great day, all right? As it turns out, whatever it was pretty simple. Their car just needed to be fixed, and guess how much it cost? $100. God already knows what he's going to do. Amen. So don't discount yourself just because you don't see everything that you're believing for. Go to work with what you have. Amen. And that's what I did. And I kept speaking over that $100 bill, not knowing that God was going to then require of me to give that $100 bill. Amen. God is good. Amen. So that's spontaneous. Then third is strategically. Strategically, that's on purpose, out of principle for a particular thing. On purpose, out of principle for a particular thing. This could be like the benevolence we just gave for the member, their house burnt down, and then awesome, 8 months later, right, they build a brand new house. Pastor gets up and gives us an opportunity. That's strategic, on purpose, out of principle for a particular thing. All right, and there's also sacrificial, and that's when we give above and beyond intentionally. Intentionally, we give above and beyond. And we know that sacrifice sets in motion the supernatural power of God. And we cannot allow a tough situation to talk us out of giving. Because, you know, situations speak, right? And oftentimes our situations, what they're saying is not what the word is saying. So then I've got to have a disciplined approach to my faith, ignoring the voices that don't line up with the word and magnifying the word of God in my thinking and in my life. Amen? We're going to go to Psalms 126, 5 and 6 in the message. So we see sacrificial giving. We see Isaac. Isaac is one example. He sowed during a famine and he reaped an incredible harvest. But we're going to read Psalm 126 in the message. It says, "And now, God, do it again. Bring rains to our drought-stricken lives, so those who planted their crops in despair will shout hurrahs at the harvest. So those who went off with heavy hearts will come home laughing with armloads of blessing." I love that. Armloads of blessing for the sower. It says they planted their crops. So they sowed when it didn't feel good. They sowed when it didn't look good. And they got an incredible harvest as a result. So I should continue to give even in tough times because of who God is in my life. Amen. When I give to God, I demonstrate adoration and appreciation for who he is in my life. I remember Pastor James saying this a couple years ago. He said, "It's not my job to pressure you, but it is my job to push you." It's not about pressure. But sometimes we need somebody to come alongside us and say, "You know what? You need to pray. What's the Holy Spirit, you know, telling you to do?" And that house testimony that I share with you, you know, we have so many other similar testimonies like it, but I know it's directly connected to our giving and obedience, even when it didn't make sense. Amen? And so I want to encourage you. We have a big giving day coming up on March 3rd. I want to encourage you to pray. If you're married, get in agreement with your spouse, right? How can two walk together except they be agreed? Amen? And then sow. Do what God is telling you to do. And when you reach out in obedience to do what God is telling you to do, you will see the supernatural. Amen? We cannot rob God of the opportunity to bless us. We're going to see things we've never seen before as a result of our giving. Amen. But the reason why we can't see it now is because we hasn't tapped out in faith yet. Amen. It's in the pursuit. He gives you more on the way than he does when you first start out. So when you release what's in your hand, God releases what's in his hand, and there comes a togetherness where the manifestation reaches what you've been believing for. Amen. But I've got to be willing to let go of what I have. Amen. I got to be willing to sow. I got to be willing to listen to the Spirit of God and shut down my mind when it is speaking contrary to what God says in his word. God will bless the giver. Amen. He's the God that can do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think according to the power that's at work in you. Amen. He's an amazing God. Debt freedom belongs to us. Amen. Yes, it does. God has promised us in his word that he will bless us and increase us more and more. So I want to encourage you to pray. Get involved. Do something. Amen. Do something that your faith can get attached to, that God can then watch over his word and perform it in your life. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. I'm done. Praise God. I hope you got something out of this tonight.